on WYPR.
In Baltimore.
It's Out of the Blocks.
From the minds of Earn Hankins
and Wendell Patrick.
1 hour of radio.
One city block.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
This is 2100 Emerson Avenue.
I got two girls cooking, one cooking a case of bacon. I'm cooking a T-bone platter with scrambled cheese eggs and home fries with no onions. And I got a scrapple platter with scrambled cheese eggs and grits. Crystal. I've been working here for 8 years, but I've been cooking for 11.
Joyce is lucky to have you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's a pain in the butt, but, you know, that's just the personality of this place. It's not always going to be peaches and cream. But it's a place that you know is real. No fake and phony stuff in here.
Zone Sauce, can I help you? Joyce Smith, 2101 Emerson Avenue. Soul Sauce Restaurant.
Turkey, bacon, cheese, eggs,
T-bone steak, home fries, and cheese eggs.
Chickpeas.
Anything else?
Cheese on everything.
I came from Trinidad and Tobago. And I ended up in Baltimore, Maryland, and this is where I've been since. 7 days a week for 30 years now. I get so much love from the customers in here. It's better than where I came from. They had no love in them.
So you came here, you had a husband who was here, but he didn't stay? Or?
He got deported because he didn't want to do right, so they sent him back. And I stayed back with my 4 children and I raised them from working in this breakfast spot for 30 years.
What do you think has been the happiest moment of your life?
When my children's father got deported. It was. Because he was abusive. I was glad when they sent him back. And he tried for me to come back and I told him, no. This is my chance now. I'm going to do me.
My name is Jamelia, and my relation to Joyce is she's my mother. Just watching a black woman come up, handling everything merely on her own, I guess it was just embedded in me.
Joyce, what do you think, what do you hope your daughter has learned from watching you and learning from you and the way you've lived your life?
That she could be just like me. Don't depend on nobody for nothing. Get up and get your own. You know? Hey, come say something about Soul Sauce. We going on the radio.
Joyce is a nice person, but she get nasty sometimes. Don't make her mad. You make her mad, I don't know. She go crazy on you.
She ain't gonna lie to you. She gonna tell you straight up. She's like a mother figure and a grandmother figure mixed in one.
Most of the customers been coming here since they was kids, going to school. And now they're grown men and women, they still comes in here. So every day you see the same people.
Yeah, when she first came here, I was here. She watched a lot of us grow up.
Come on, ask him when he gonna pay his bill.
Joyce wants to know when he gonna pay your bill.
Never, never.
Streetwise, knowledge in me is like, okay, he's great, try to do something, right? He's nervous, it's probably the first time he done this before, so he's, you know, his palms are sweaty. Michael Anderson, 2100 block of Emerson Avenue, he pretty much asked me for a ride, and I said, you know, well, you know, I'm ready to go home, and he said, well, you know, I pay you to take me there. I'm like, he said he was, you know, his daughter was sick or whatever, he had to get home to her, so he gave me $15 to take him over there. And as we get in our travels, he was like, I need that money back, that paper back. And I'm like, I ain't giving, he said, well, at least give me 10 of it back. I'm like, okay, well, get out right here. So he, as he started wiping his hands on his pants leg, I knew something was great happen. And when he went in his jacket, and as he was trying to come out of his jacket, I opened the door and tried to push him out. And as he was going out, that's when he fired the first shot. Then he fired the second one, and he told me to get out. And I was so angry that I said to him, you don't want that. And he was like, man, get out. And that's when I just put the car in gear and pulled off, and I couldn't see out of my right eye. So I drove, it seemed like forever, but it was about 3 miles away. I went to a 7-Eleven and asked them to call 911.
You drove 3 miles? I have to get a shot in the face.
Shot in the face, yep. Face and in the shoulder, yep.
So this bullet went in under your eye and then went through and into your neck.
Into my neck, yeah. And it knocked out a lot of my teeth up top. Broke a lot of them. They had to take all of them out on both sides up top. I had, you probably really can't see it now, but it was a big hole up there.
I see you got like a lump in your neck. Is the bullet still in there?
Where, right here?
On the side.
Yeah, this is the bullet right here.
If you could be face to face with this guy who shot you, what would you say to him now?
Say.
Or do?
It wouldn't be pretty, put it that way. And I probably would be incarcerated. You know, part of me wants to see him, but then another part of me don't, because I'm trying to, you know, get past this and be there for my family. I know if I come face to face with him, then, you know, because where I come from, we don't let things like that go. I gotta walk these streets all the time. If people knew that I let that go like that and came, then no telling when I walked in and what else would happen to me. So, you know, I should hope not to see him again for real. And he should hope that I don't see him again.
If you're just tuning in,
you on 2100 Emerson Avenue.
It's Out of the Blocks.
1 hour radio.
One city block.
Everybody's story.
Somebody say it. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad that there is a man that sets high and look low. His eyes, the Bible says, to and fro, he behold the good and the evil. Say, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
My name is Pastor Annette Matthews. My church is Refuge Way of the Cross Church of Deliverance. We're located 2111 Edmondson Avenue. We're Pentecostal. So we like to sing, we like to shout, we like to clap.
Lord, it's getting hot up in here.
Go ahead.
You know why it's getting hot? Because Jesus turning up my fire. Yes. Yes.
I heard this voice playing as I'm talking to you now. And only thing I can attribute it to is the voice of God. He said, I want you in leadership.
Passion is what pushes you. Amen. Passion is what ignites your flame. Passion is what sends you forth.
Do you remember your first sermon in front of a congregation?
Well, my initial sermon was, believe it or not, fear will destroy you, but faith will deliver you. And that was my sermon, because I had such a spirit of fear. Low self-esteem. I felt like everybody could do it better than me. I can't do it. What's the purpose? You know, and so that was my first sermon. 2 Timothy 2:7-8. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, of love, and of a sound mind.
Jesus said, I give you power. I give you power. I give you power. I give you power.
Sometimes they say it's a thankless job, and it's been actually a lonely walk. I have been challenged with my husband in sickness. My husband has been in the nursing facility for the last 4 years. He hasn't been there for me, but I've had to be there for him, and that has led me to question, what is going on? Why? I've been faithful, God, and I've served you, and I just don't understand. And actually, I have not gotten an answer. In all of these 23 years, I've never lost a Sunday. But now I am in a place where I can't keep going. I don't have the sufficient help here. So my faith has been tested right in these last couple of years.
How much longer do you predict that you have in this building?
The beginning of 2017. That's the date that I've been given as far as a settlement, because we have had someone to, we've signed contracts that they will purchase the church. However, that does not seem to be going very well. But anyway, we're still here.
What do you think your final sermon is going to be about before you guys leave this building?
Oh, wow. It will probably be, I fought a good fight.
This is heavy for my heart, amen, that today we share in the loving memory of the late Reverend Dr. Rome B. Matthews, the overseer of this church, and my husband. On Tuesday, the Lord called him home. Praise God. So my husband is in good company. Yes. Hallelujah. And I was there every day possible. Leaving from church, you know, and going immediately to the nursing home. And even when I woke up this morning and yesterday, I was saying to myself, I don't know what I'm going to do after church today.
Take your time, Pat.
I don't know what I'm going to do after church because my Sundays have been spent with him.
Help the Lord.
Praise God.
Help the Lord.
Help the Lord.
Help the Lord. Touch the Lord.
But nevertheless, I'm still here.
Gotcha.
But I made the decision a few months ago that I could not continue carrying this heavy load. The load of the church and the ministry and the business aspects of it. And I was finding myself being burnt out. And I didn't want the people to suffer from that. So I made the decision to sell the building and close down the church. But how many know the ministry goes on?
Amen.
Because as I've taught you and told you, and you know for yourself, that it's in us.
Amen.
Praise God.
If you plant a seed, someone else may water that seed, but only God can give the increase. Thank you so much.
You're tuned to Out of the Blocks.
2100 Emerson Avenue.
1 hour radio.
One city block.
Everybody's story.
Don't touch that dial.
Out of the Blocks is produced with grant funding from the Cohen Opportunity Fund, the William G. Baker Jr. Memorial Fund, Sig and Barbara Shapiro, Patricia and Mark Joseph, Jonathan Melnick, and the Hofberger Foundation.
It's Out of the Blocks.
2100 Edmonton Avenue.
From Ern Hankin.
And Wendell Patrick.
1 hour radio.
One city block.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
I'm certain that you hear something we call it making the gun talk.
Make the gun talk, huh?
Yeah. Talk to me, baby. Talk to me, baby. Indianapolis 500, that's the way they do it in Indianapolis 500, baby. My name's Stacy Rose, Scott Tie Shop, 2119 Emerson Avenue. What's my nickname? Shorty! Shorty, they call me Shorty.
Why do they call you that?
Probably because I'm only about 5 feet. That's probably why I got that name. 5 feet of fun.
Say your name?
Gregory. Also known as Foots.
How'd you get that nickname?
Well, you know, I was always tall and my foot was big, so it just gave me the name Foots.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'7".
You're 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
And your partner is 6'7".
6'7", yeah. What a combination, ain't it?
I need a tire here, okay?
Let me get your wheel lock key, we can go. This is a tire machine. First thing you do is let the air out the tires, okay? What you do is separate the tire from the rim. Get the tire up on top of this machine. Push that down, lock it in. Take your bar, stick it in, turn it around. The machine do the rest of the work. Put the tire right here. Lock it in like that. Yeah, bam, bam. There we go. Put the tire back on now.
She came for one tire, she going out with two good tires.
I wouldn't want to work with no one other than him. And that's honestly from the heart.
We work good together. I taught him half of things. I know he think I'm going to tell him everything I know. But I ain't going to teach him everything I know. Then he might get my position, you know?
Do you have an interview question for Foots? Something that you've always been curious about?
How do it feel for to look down at me every day knowing I ain't gonna never be able to look you right in your eye? That's what I wanna ask him.
I don't know, you gotta ask God, Jeff, for making, you know what I mean, question God for making you so damn short. I'm serious.
Let me ask you if you have a good question for Stacy.
Yeah, how the weather feel down there?
Man, let me tell you, but living is so sweet when you short, man. Because people just love short, handsome people, man. You just can't reach a whole lot of stuff. You know what I mean, right, man?
You fit in a lot of lower spaces, either.
Yeah, you fit in a whole lot.
You know what I mean? Now, what you're looking for is bubbles. If you see some bubbles, you know we got a hole in that tire somewhere. Okay?
Tell me what this thing is that you put in.
A tub. Nothing but water. Full of water. I don't see no bubbles, so guess what? The tire is good to go, buddy.
I've only talked to you a little bit here and there, but I can tell that you oftentimes have a lot of emotional weight on your shoulders. Like, you go through happy times and sad times, don't you?
I go through a lot of sad times. Depressed. You know, I'm diagnosed with depression. You know what I mean? I take medication for that. So, you know, just gotta keep a lot of things on my mind, you know? Right now, I'm fighting this disease, you know? Right now, I'm on a program that's working for me, but I'm still fighting, you know, them demons. Talking about heroin. That's right, how long I've been using, I'm saying about in my 20s, around 25, something like that. You know, fighting it for 25 years. It's a disease, man, I fight with every day, because everywhere you look, on every corner, you know, you see people that sell it. You got friends that got it, you understand? It's just been a roller coaster with me, roller coaster. It's been tough, it's been tough. You know, because that had led me to being locked up a lot. 21 years, you know, I'm 50 years old now. I've been locked up 21 years of my life in prison.
You spent almost half your life in prison.
My life in prison, that's right. That's right.
How long have you been clean on the program?
2 years. Right now, I'm hitting and missing. When I say hitting and missing, I get high, depends how I feel, and then sometimes I don't. You know, I'm up and down, up and down. You know, I want to stay clean. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to stop getting high, number one, okay? And be a good dad to my kids. And be good to me.
We are there at Emmys, man. This man's a from? Where you from?
Pakistan.
This man is all the way from Pakistan. And he know how to make some Pakistan giddy, giddy, giddy for your stummy. Because when Shorty eat it, you know it's got to be delicious.
Tell me what's your favorite thing to order from Mr. Z.
Shrimp cheesesteak.
So now I'm going to fix the shrimp cheesesteak and you can just see me. 8 ounce meat, and now I'm gonna put like 7 big shrimp in the shrimp cheesesteak.
My name is Khurshid Zaman. This is Emmy's Food Palace, 2117 Edmondson Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, zip code 21223. I'm born and raised in Pakistani-controlled Kashmir. Kashmir is a disputed territories between India and Pakistan. The culture is very beautiful, the people are very beautiful, but unfortunately, the nation of Kashmir is separate due to Pakistan and India. I used to work as an investigative reporter for the Pakistani national newspaper. I used to publish my own newspaper as well, and I used to work on the corruption in different departments and stuff like that. And journalist life in Pakistan is really under danger. You can't freely write against the politicians. The journalists have to follow the governmental rules in order to write down anything if you still want to stay in the country. So that's why, I mean, I don't believe that kind of journalism. While you have an opinion, you are free to say anything, whatever opinion in your mind.
You must have known as a journalist that you were crossing that line then when you were writing those sorts of pieces. What went through you when you made that decision, when you sort of knew what the consequences could be?
Okay, let me tell you another interesting story. I was also part of a journalistic institute, and can you believe we've been attacked by the one department of the government? While we was there, they sent the people inside who scared the journalist, who escaped, who kidnapped the journalist either. Lot of them physically injured and hospitalized and stuff like that. Yeah, that's on the record. Once our journalistic institute is attacked by the government, if we keep moving with our freedom writing, so we might gonna get more trouble, maybe face in the prison. So that's why we escaped from there to go in other countries. This is the toughest time in your life when you have to left your own country where you're born and raised. And I was really feeling really, really bad. I came to United States not by choice, but due to my circumstances, I came to United States, try to save my life and my family. So that's why I'm here. I've been here now 18 years. I've been granted asylum. I'm a citizen of the United States now, and I feel free here. Over stuff with the meat and shrimp, and now is ready to wrap. A little touch of peppers.
Do you ever regret the decision that you made to write those bold journalistic pieces that caused this path to happen for you?
No, sir, never. I'm the person who stick to my opinion always. No regret at all. Not at all.
It's 1 hour of radio, one city block, everybody's story.
Out of the Blocks, 2100 Emerson Avenue.
I see you carry a sidearm here. Tell me about that and sort of like the rationale behind it and stuff.
Mine is a Sig Sauer SP-2022. I've never been given a reason to need it around here, but as our instructors in the military always taught us, better to have it and never need it than to need it and not have it. The total price for that washer for tax and delivery would be $225.50. My name is Robert Gibb. 2126 Edmondson Avenue. best used appliances. So if you wanted to put something on it today, we can do the rest on COD. My delivery guys can pick up the rest of the money when they come out. We sell refrigerators, freestanding washers and dryers, gas and electric stoves, mostly Whirlpool and GE. We have microwaves, we have dishwashers. Good morning, best used appliances. How can I help you? They start at $240 a piece. All right, thank you. I mean, if it's artillery, you won't hear anything until the round's impact. My job skill in the Army was a 13 Fox. It's a forward observer for the artillery. My job was to support the infantry or with the Cav Scouts or, you know, whoever needed it. You know, I fought alongside them. If they got into firefights, I was right there with them. But if they ran across something that was too big for normal M16s or M4s or whatever, I could call in either artillery support to blow it up, or I could talk to naval gunfire, the Air Force for, you know, Air Force planes to come in and help. I mean, that's what I did. You make the call, you send the coordinates, and then you've got the time to wait. Train and train and train. The first couple times you do it in combat or, you know, in a combat zone, you always get that feeling in the bottom of your stomach. You know, wow, I hope I'm not off on this. Probably the biggest responsibility is the unknown, the things that you can't see. What's over that, you know, that little berm on the, over there that you can't see across because you can't get to it. You know, what's on the other side of those trees right there? It's kind of an emotional detachment. You don't always have a whole lot of emotions about the things that are going on, especially not in the heat of the moment. I mean, emotions are great things, but if they get in the way, they can mean you don't come home. So you got to kind of detach yourself from things sometimes. Good afternoon, best used appliances. How can I help you? Good, how are you doing?
These are clothes burners. These are open burners, and these are grates. I polish them up, and I clean all the crap off of them so that the gas can flow through properly, and they look nice and pretty for when somebody want to buy them. How you doing? My name is Kells. This is 2126 Emerson Avenue. Best used appliances. Got the best appliances in town. Like off the jump, it's my job to open up the building, to set up the things outside, grab all the appliances that we're going to sell for that day. I'm like the first one here, last one to go. Before this here, I was involved in the streets, you know what I'm saying? You know, I did what I had to do. I didn't take anything from nobody or anything like that, but I dealt narcotics, and that is what got me through to where I'm at right now. Went to prison for 5 years for dealing drugs down here, but in the process of doing all that, everything that goes with the gang, I've been through it. I've been shot, stabbed, and all that old stuff, you know what I'm saying? And it was this one particular incident where I'm outside, and I'm dealing. So, you know, in every hood, you got some guys that go around, and they just stick up, they just rob people in the hood. So this one particular day, I'm standing on the block, and I'm dealing. So the guy come up, you know, and he called himself pushing up on me, you know what I'm saying? He's trying to, like, put fear into me, so when I see him, I give him money and stuff like that. So that didn't happen. So he left, and he came back, with somebody. They started shooting. I started shooting. I got hit. They didn't get hit. That was a horrific moment in my life, you know what I'm saying? Because I could have lost my life. I got shot in my foot, my leg, and my side. I ran from Emerson and Monroe all the way to Monroe and Lafayette before I realized I got shot. I got to the gas station and I collapsed. That's the only way I knew that I was shot. Now, the guy that did hit me, he had got locked up, but I went to court and said that he didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? He came home and blew somebody else's brains out, but that's not my fault, because at the time, I couldn't say anything. I wasn't going to tell. I'm not going to tell. But I brung him home, you know what I'm saying? And then a few years after that, he got his brains blew out right there in front of the breakfast spot.
So after you got shot by this guy, the court time came around, and you had an instinctual decision of, like, no snitching.
No snitching. no snitching. I'm gonna live by that. I'm gonna die by that. I don't do no telling. You know what I'm saying? And I knew who did it, but I couldn't do it because I'd have put myself in danger, my family in danger, and that just wasn't happening. You know what I'm saying? Now I have a different mind frame. I'm not in that lifestyle anymore, so I'm away from that. You know, got a job, and this is where I'm at now, and I'm here, and I'm staying.
Best Shoes Appliances, may I help you?
Pamela Martin, 2126 Edmondson Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland 21223. I'm the store manager. I not only take care of incoming traffic as far as customers on the phone, delivery, service calls, pricing, touching up, things in that nature. My mom had a mental illness. She had gotten hit by a milk truck when she was 19, 20, after she had my brother and I. Put her in a coma for a couple weeks, and therefore gave her a chemical imbalance, which caused paranoia, you know, bipolar symptoms. When she would have her breakdowns, as they called them, nervous breakdowns at the time, my younger brother and I, by a year, would have to, we went in foster care. So from the age 3 till I was approximately about 14, on and off, because my mom was sick and wasn't able to take care of us like that, you know. But she would always bring us home when she was able, you know, when she was well, we were with her.
Was Dad in the picture? Or?
No. No. When I lost my mom, you know, I was there by her side mainly the last 3 weeks of her life, and I seen a lot of changes and a lot of things that I would have never experienced. I've never experienced in my entire life. The cancer had grew from 2.5 centimeters to 10 centimeters in a matter of 3 months. She had lung cancer. To be totally honest with you here, I'm not a big religious person, and my mom was. And I would talk to her about God because that's what she believed in. And the hardest thing I ever dealt with that whole entire situation was when my mother looked at me and told me that she didn't want to die. I had to turn my head. I just turned my head from her real quick and just got myself together very quickly and said to my mom, you know, go be with God, Mom. Go be with God. But the thing is that I'll share with you that I've never experienced in my entire life. That was my first death experience, to say. Number one. Number two, my mom was 65 years old when she passed away. And when my mom passed away, she went back, I know, 20 years. It was amazing. I've never, ever seen somebody so much at peace. She had not one wrinkle. Her loose skin on her neck was gone. Her mouth completely closed. I mean, she was gorgeous. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, and I know this sounds crazy, but I wish I would have took a picture because people would have been blown away. It was amazing. Of course, after my mom passed, I had to go to her apartment for some personal things and a couple of items I was looking for, specifically her poetry. You know, with her paranoia, she would hide things in odd different places. And she, you know, sat a particular spot on the right-hand end of the sofa at, you know, most of the time. And I lifted a cushion, there was a vanilla folder there, and I started breezing through the many poems that she had written that were on special type of paper. I found God Gave Me You, which was dedicated to my brother and I from my mom. And also I found this another one that I thought would be perfect for her, the day of her viewing. So this is the name of it, and this is how it reads. Someday I'll meet him face to face. Jesus is my light, my day. I love him every way. He is my soul, my heart, embrace. Someday I'll meet him face to face. My anchor, my privilege, my love by far. The Lord Jesus, my every star. Jesus, my light, my faith in him. He shows me love again and again. Someday I'll meet him face to face. I cannot erase my sin, but my Lord can again and again. By Diane Rossi.
From 2100 Emerson Avenue, it's Out of the Blocks.
More after the break.
of the Blocks is produced with grant funding from the Cohen Opportunity Fund, the William G. Baker Jr. Memorial Fund, Associated Jewish Charities, the MuseWeb Foundation, the John J. Leidy Foundation, and the Kenneth S. Batty Charitable Trust.
From 2100 Emerson Avenue.
Out of the Blocks.
Simple Concept.
From the minds
of Aaron Hankin and Wendell Patrick.
1 hour radio, one city block, everybody's story. Hey, hello everyone. I'm Irvin Williams. We're standing on the legendary, most notorious, and very well respected Emerson Avenue, Pulaski Street, 2100 block. And this rhyme is something I'm gonna do off the top of my head, so I'm gonna see if I can get this line. This is something they really don't have to ask me, although we're standing on Emerson Avenue in Pulaski, in front of the legendary breakfast spot, where a lot of people lost their life here because they were shot. Where this neighborhood was number one in the city for being hot. But everything we had, everything we lost, everything we got, everything we ever dreamed of, everything we ever loved, hated, dreams were chasing, started right here on Emerson and Payson. The days where we had the carryouts, when we had the Oreo animals who gave us shrimp fried rice, to the days where the Pakistani people run us from the front of their store because we had large crowds from shooting dice. The police knew who we were. We was ghetto superstars in our own rights. Never thought about the lonely days or the heartfelt nights where we left broken hearts for mothers whose sons never came back home. From the days of chasing a dollar so these city streets we roam. But 29 years later, I look back on it all. I regret a lot, but I also can say I had a ball. So I say to you, black, white, Hispanic, Latino, whatever you call yourself, praise God every day, and you don't need no man's wealth. God bless you all. Have a good day.
At my age of 10 years old, I can sit on the steps and be able to play with my friends. And I don't have to worry about if somebody's going to run up on me. You have 10-year-old kids out here today that are selling drugs. They are on drugs. They use them. They're being neglected by their parents. So all they know how to do is go out here and fend for themselves. Back then, when I was 10, no, we was 10-year-old kids. We act like 10-year-old kids.
Erica Osby, 2124 Emerson Avenue. I have a son that's 10. His name is Joseph. I feel like if I don't school him now, somebody will get to him later and put fear in him so as though it will tear him apart. So before they get to him, I teach him first. I wish I could go back to when I was raised. I lost my mother. And when I experienced that, I was 6 months pregnant with my son. Someone brutally murdered her in the city of Baltimore. In her home, they stabbed her over 10 times. But here in the city of Baltimore, when it's murder cases, they judgmental on people's lifestyles. My mother went to college. She works for the city of Baltimore, but somehow she was a functional drug addict. Right, functional, but somehow she got caught up to be unfunctional.
Wait, was it a heroin problem, or is that what?
No, she didn't have a heroin problem. Mostly, as they call it, crack. I don't know if she ran into the wrong person or what the case may be. I wasn't there to even get that part of that information, but that don't give you a right to murder somebody just because they want to get high.
so they never caught the person who did this?
No, not at all. I think somebody just did it just because. But when they tell me they left her for dead, that means they really wanted her dead. That's what homicide said.
My name is Latif Adero Milain. My business is LA Auto Service, 2124 Edmondson Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21223.
Here's the wall full of different wrenches.
This Yusuf Adero Milain is my son.
Pliers, different kinds.
He's here for holiday.
My name is Yusuf Adero Milain. I'm 20 years old.
When he has holiday, he only work with me right here.
I'm going to Morgan soon and just working here. When I'm on break.
Some people, they will take their car to everywhere they can get it fixed. And everybody say, take it to Elliot, take it to Elliot. So when they bring it, I said, don't worry, we got you.
So we got this green button here for going up that you just press it and oil change. You know, everybody needs oil change. That's the most common thing. Oil change, brake changes, you know, maybe somebody needs to change their rotors. Pretty much everything that could be wrong with a car, we do over here.
Yeah, I grew up in Nigeria. My father has 15 wives, and I have over 40 brothers and sisters.
Let me get this right. You say your dad has 15 wives?
Yes.
And you have like 40 brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have over 40 brothers and sisters. Yeah, my father told me the reason why they have to marry because they were doing farming. Back home, they have a lot of wives because they need help to do farming.
Are you married?
Yes, I'm married.
And you have one wife?
Yes. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your wife.
You met my wife. She has a restaurant very close to me too. Camelot restaurant.
It must be nice to have your wife working right across the street from you.
Oh yeah, it's very, very nice. So that's why I'm like this. She fed me.
We do the curry chicken, oyster, jerk chicken, fondant yam. We have fish, barbecue fish, and rice and beans.
My mom, yeah, she's a great cook.
My name is Kemi Adero Milain, 2109 Edmondson Avenue, Camelot Restaurant. This is what I like that I want to do. It's not because of, maybe I'm looking for big money outside there, but it's just what I like to do. It's good to have your own work. You know, I'm not working for nobody. I'm working for myself.
I met my wife when in the high school.
26 years ago now.
So I was playing soccer.
Our hometown is Ikare.
And I'm the captain of the team at my school. She is the captain of our team in our school. So we met on the field. And we'll be kicking it from there since 1989.
My dad's childhood compared to mine is a lot different because, you know, he started working at a younger age to get to America and start his own business when he got here. But for me, this is my first job working for my dad. I never really worked. He didn't want me to work because he wanted me to focus on school.
Komodetori akokorakuru. It means before a child walk, the child have to crawl. So it means that whatever you're doing, you slow down. It's a step by step. You crawl before walk. Komodetori akokorakuru.
Clayton Williams, nicknamed T. We own the 2100 block of Edmondson Avenue. I've been around for a long, long, long time.
Tell me about your voice. Why it sounds the way it sounds.
Yeah. When I was in the fire, it scorched my vocals cord.
This house fire that you survived, how long ago was that?
3 years ago. I can remember it. It's just like it happened yesterday. When electricity got cut off. I used to build a fire inside on a grill, and I would put the charcoal in it to keep me warm and stuff. And so I guess it fell off when I was asleep, and what woke me up, I can't remember what woke me up, but it was flames. It was flames. I just couldn't get myself together. The only thing I was worried about was trying to get out, because I couldn't remember where the door was. It was just all flames. In Harbor City, burn unit, they took skin from my legs to cover my hands up. I know that I had my hands all bandaged up, and I never did know my face was scorched. And the first time that I saw myself in the mirror, I didn't realize it. And I felt so bad, but God pulled me through. Yeah.
So this is your home?
But it belongs to L.A. Yeah.
This is a van, Ford Freestar van, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How long you been staying in here?
About a year or so.
So this van is in the lot of the auto repair shop here?
Yeah, auto service, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about how you worked it out with L.A. to be able to be in here.
Yeah, well, I can stay in here as long as I want, as long as nobody's stealing from.
So you...
Like a night watchman.
You're like a night watchman who happens to live here in this van at night.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you stay warm in the winter in here.
Yeah. I see all these blankets, these quilts and stuff. Yeah. Keeps me warm. I got enough stuff in here to keep me warm.
And you've been in here for, you say, about a year, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were born to survive.
Yeah, I think so. The weight I have, as long as I'm 65 now, so I've been surviving for a mighty, mighty long time.
You have been listening to Out of the Blocks
from the radio producer Aaron Hankin and music producer Wendell Patrick. You can podcast this series
and check out photos and videos
at wypr.org/outoftheblocks.
Aaron and Wendell want to thank all of us
who took a leap of faith and shared our stories and our lives.
For 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.
This is 2100 Emerson Avenue. Signing off.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Signing off.